Chris. Are you going to come and talk to us? Just, can we give Chris a round of applause? He's going to come and share God's word for us this morning. Serves us so faithfully in this. Can I pray for you, brother?
Please do. Let's clear this out of the way because I need some room.
Lord Jesus, yeah, I just pray for my brother Chris, and I just thank you so much for him and his heart for your word and exploring it and expounding it to us here. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you just come on him with power to speak to us this morning. To your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Toby. Thank you so much. Well, it's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? It was just amazing hearing from Mel and Jean Anne and just how that linked with the Catalyst stuff and the international church that we're part of. It's good to be part of the worldwide church, isn't it? And it's great. What a privilege it is that we get to meet locally, just here in our little market town of St. Neots. We get to gather and worship, but we're part of something that is worldwide and for eternity. It's crazy, right? It's great what we're involved in. So, and what is the centre of it all? What is it that binds us all together? What is it from the stuff we're hearing about in Catalyst, the stuff from Zambia and Zimbabwe, stuff going on there as well? And it is, of course, is Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus, and it's Jesus who changes people's lives. And that's what I want to talk to us a little bit about this morning. And so what I want you to do right now is to start thinking for yourselves about your own Jesus story. So I want to encourage you to start thinking about your own encounters with Jesus. What difference does Jesus make in your life? What was it like when you first encountered Jesus? What happened? What changes have actually happened in your life as a result of saying, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? Because Jesus is the one who brings hope. Jesus is the one who brings restoration. He brings completeness and fullness of joy and peace. In him is fullness of hope. It's all about Jesus. So I want you to keep thinking about, okay, how has Jesus really impacted my life? What difference does Jesus make in my life? And the point is, every single person needs Jesus. We all need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And he is available and we're there with arms open wide for every person. Everybody needs Jesus. And what I want to signpost us towards today is we're going to be doing an Alpha in the autumn, and I want us to start thinking about Alpha, because Alpha is a great way of talking about Jesus. It's a brilliant way of just talking about Jesus. So what I would like us to consider, what does Jesus mean to us? Is he the hope bringer in your life? Probably felt like it should be in a few more amens there. Is Jesus the way maker in your life? Yeah. Is he the one that brings peace in your life? Is he the one that changes any situation? Whatever situation you're in, you can have peace and hope because of Jesus. Amen? Right, so that's what we're talking about this morning, Jesus. It's going to get exciting, I hope. So, if you know Jesus already, you're going to have your own Jesus stories. You're going to have those stories of encounter with Jesus, precious moments of encounter with Jesus that have been life-changing. Ian mentioned last week when he spoke about the power of stories, didn't he? Do you remember that? He mentioned about the importance of us sharing stories of God's faithfulness, looking back and celebrating with gratitude what God has done, and that helps us then move forward into the future with expectation. So stories are really important when we share stories. So what we're going to look at today, we look at a bit of scripture, John 1. If you've got your Bibles, go to John 1. We're going to start at verse 43. Now, this is a scripture I spoke on about a year ago, but I'm going to draw out some different applications. So if you're like, yeah, I've heard this one before, Chris. No, you haven't. Pay attention. There's new stuff coming. So we're going to look at John 1, 43 to 46 to start with. And it says this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. I love this bit of scripture. Just consider the scene for a moment if you can. I want us to start off with this guy, Philip. I really like Philip. Philip, imagine in your mind's eye, it doesn't tell us exactly what his encounter with Jesus has been. We don't know what Jesus has said or done, but whatever has happened, Philip is completely sold that Jesus is the one. The one thing we do know from what Philip says is we've found the one that Moses has been talking about. So when I was considering this some more, I really felt God speak to me a little bit more on this. Is I think Philip, maybe he's a bit of a theological guy, because he says we've found the one that Moses has been speaking about. So he's talking about the completion of promise. So what Philip's encounter with Jesus has left him thinking, his story, Philip's Jesus story, is theologically it makes sense. Jesus is the one that Moses has talked about. He's the completion of promise. So that's what's really grabbed Philip's attention. And I just wonder for some of us today, if we, maybe some of us are a bit more theological or a bit more thinky than others, and we really like to get into the detail of it. Isn't it exciting that when we get into the detail of Scripture, it all points to Jesus? You go back through the Old Testament and all of the Scriptures, it just is a big old signpost to Jesus. That's super exciting, right? And so Philip's this theological guy, and he's got excited because he's gone, we found the one that Moses was talking about. It's Jesus. I've got my Jesus story. I'm totally convinced Jesus is the way. And so what does he do? He rushes, full of enthusiasm and joy, to find, we don't know his relationship with Nathanael either, it doesn't tell us, but he must know him in some way. So he goes to find this guy, Nathanael. In my mind's eye, I'm thinking, well, if he's a bit of a theological debater, discusser, thinker, maybe Nathanael's someone he has conversations with. Maybe Philip and Nathanael spend a long time discussing the Scriptures and going, I wonder, how's God going to do it? How is he going to fulfill this Scripture? Maybe they have these debates and discussions back and forth. So he goes to find his friend Nathanael, and he says, we found the one that is the completion of the promise, the completion of the Scripture, and his name is Jesus. You need to come see him. That's how I kind of see this story kind of unfolding. And I think it's so helpful for us just to think in that Philip situation for a moment. What's it like for us? What was it like when the penny dropped for us? When we said, yeah, Jesus is the way. Was it a theological working out? Maybe we trawled through the Scriptures and we went, yeah, this makes sense. Maybe it was a theological coming to faith. Maybe there was a more of a heart coming to faith. Maybe you had a dream or some, I don't know what your story is, what Jesus did for you, but it's good for us to remind ourselves, why did I come to faith in Jesus? What was the catalyst that helped me come to faith? What happened when I came to faith? What was my response when I came to faith? I know for me, although it was many, many years ago now, I know that I experienced a peace like no other when I first said Jesus is my Lord. A peace that was just so deep and just so all-consuming and complete that it just, everything made more sense. And for me, the best way I can describe it is it felt like coming home. Like I belonged there, I was safe there. This, and I knew it was going to involve my whole purpose and my whole life. It was like, wow, this deep, deep peace. That was my experience when I first came to faith. And I know for me that when I pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, very often that's something that I experience, just this deep, complete peace of going, this is where I belong, and it's with you, Jesus. It's a sense of belonging, and that's what happens when we encounter Jesus. And it will be different for different ones of us here. But it's helpful for us to remember, what's my story? What is it that gets me excited about Jesus? Why Jesus? I know for me now that's also turned to a whole lot of gratitude. And gratitude does us good, doesn't it? It's good when we're grateful for what Jesus has done. And we're even in the storm, when we can say, wow, thank you God for what you've done. That does our souls good, right? When we are, that whole attitude of gratitude thing, it helps, doesn't it? Great. So, I just again want you to really think about, what was it like? Did God really grab your heart? Was it your emotions? Was it your theological thinking? What happened? And what difference has it made to you? And what is our response to that? When God has done something in our lives, whether for the first time or for the 100th time, what is our response to that? When we were singing about Amazing Grace just now. Amazing Grace. And so I was singing, I love that song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Have Gone. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Just such a beautiful reminder of the power of grace and what I've been set free from and what I've been able to walk through into because of the grace of Jesus. Just, oh, thank you, Jesus. It does us good when we do that, doesn't it? But what response happens when we encounter something of Jesus? For many people, we want to go tell people. I need to tell you what's happened in my life, how I was going in this direction, it's gone that way, but now it's going this way and it's so much better. And that is such a biblical response, to share what Jesus is doing in us to want to share that with other people, that's a massively biblical response. We see it throughout the scriptures. And we see it in this one here, don't we? We see Philip goes to Nathanael and says, we found the one that Moses wrote about. And don't you just love Nathanael's response? What a miserable person he is. Nazareth? What good can come from Nazareth? You just think, wow, he's a bit grumpy, isn't he? He's like, have you had that before? When you shared something of God with someone, maybe outside of the church, maybe inside the church, you shared something with God of someone, and you get that withering, negative, cold bucket of water response. What are you talking about? What are you on? What are you banging on about, man? Do you know, anyone had that? Yeah? How does that feel? Oh, it doesn't feel good, does it? It's a bit. We can get discouraged, we can get disheartened, we can get angry, we can get offended, we can maybe start arguing with people. Are any of those things helpful? Then none of that stuff is helpful, isn't it? I love Philip's response to the withering, miserable Nathanael. It gets better, it's okay. I love his response. Come and see. Come and see. I love that. What does he not do? He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't try and get theological and debate and discuss and argue with him. He doesn't get offended. He doesn't get angry with him. He's simply consistent and he says, come and see. What he does is he keeps it about Jesus. And this is really, really important. He keeps it about Jesus. There's no ill feeling there. He doesn't make it about himself. And that's the game changer, isn't it? That we keep Jesus' stories about Jesus and we don't make them about ourselves. Because our stories can suck. Because they're full of offense, they're full of anger, they're full of our own silly emotions and thoughts and ideas. But when we keep it about Jesus, that's where the power is. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's not power in the name of Chris, I can tell you that. How much damage do we do when we're trying to share our Jesus stories, but we get offended? How much damage can you, if you're talking to someone, you've tried to share something, you've been enthusiastic, you've tried to share something, you've had the withering response, and you get a little bit offended, and then your heart towards that person can change, can't it? If you're carrying offense towards someone, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, how you interact with that person is going to be different, isn't it? It's going to be tainted. So we keep it about Jesus. We don't make it about ourselves. Maybe nudge the person next to you, make sure they're awake, and just say, keep it about Jesus. Keep it about Jesus. Come and see. That's the message. Come and see. So let's just see what happens next in the story. Verse 47 says this, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. It's a bit weird. Have you ever stopped to think about that? It's a little bit of a strange thing for Jesus to say. On immediate reading of that, it's like, I'm not really sure what Jesus is saying to him there. It doesn't seem that insightful or powerful. I'm not sure that's very life-changing. It's a bit weird, Lord. Couldn't you do a bit better? Come on, Jesus. I've got this miserable guy to you. Come on. Can't you up your game a bit, Jesus? But then, oh my goodness, what happens next? The very next verse. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. What? So whatever Jesus has said, however slightly strange that sounds to the reader, well, it certainly sounded a bit weird to me, however slightly strange that looks, Nathanael's response is, how do you know me? That's powerful, isn't it? The power of being known. The power of Jesus knows each and every one of us, all our failures and all our successes, all our challenges. Jesus knows us and he still calls us and he still wants us. That's powerful. Nathanael says, how do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So we have this slightly negative, miserable guy who's like that is declaring Jesus is Lord. That's remarkable. Like, what an incredible Jesus story that is. That is utterly remarkable. And I just want to say again, so we've got an Alpha coming up. Alpha is a great way of talking to people about Jesus, who he is, what he's done. And the point is, we don't need to control the conversations that we have on Alpha or at any other time. What we do need to do is invite people to have the conversations. Going to say that again because it's really good. Okay, we don't need to control the conversations, but we need to invite people to have the conversations. And in this exchange that we see with Nathaniel and Jesus, to the, you know, Philip or other people might have thought, that's a bit strange. Jesus, why are you saying that? There was no need to control that situation. Jesus knew what he was doing. When we point people to Jesus and Jesus encounters people, he knows what he's doing because he knows people. He knows us as individuals. We don't have to control the conversation. We need to invite people to have the conversation. That's what we need to do. Man, that's a good story, right? That's a good story. So 2 years ago, we did an alpha. I've got some stories to share from that alpha. So one of the ones was, alpha is really good for all ages. We had a lovely time, all ages, sharing food and snacks together, coming together for one purpose, to find out more about God and Jesus. It was a great time. It was the course that was done for all people at all different stages of faith, from having no faith to some faith to knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Alpha is like nothing else I've ever done. And I really like this story further down. People loved it all so much. They had such a good time asking their questions and laughing together. We even had a girl in her group that she moved to Australia midway through Alpha and wanted not to miss out. So she used to call in via FaceTime to be part of the group discussions. It didn't go well because of the technical issues, but we can see how good it was for people. They wanted to participate. They didn't want to miss out, even if they were on the other side of the world. That's the sort of enjoyment that people have when they come on Alpha. People come on Alpha and they have amazing conversations that we don't have to control. We just let people have the conversations. They get great input, and so often people make amazing friendships as well. And it's a real great community that just builds. It's just such a great thing. You don't need to be embarrassed about inviting your friend to Alpha. They will have a good time. Absolutely. You invite a friend to Alpha, they will have a good time. So we're going to be running Alpha. It'll be on Monday nights. We're looking at doing a daytime one as well. If you're thinking, I'd love to do Alpha, I want to invite someone, but I can't do Mondays, please come talk to us anyway and we'll sort it out and we will do an Alpha at the time that you can do it. Because the point is, it's a great way of talking about Jesus and how he changes people's lives. Amen? Amen. So please, guys, think and pray about who you can share your Jesus stories with and how you could invite someone on the next Alpha.